off the ball.
I was enjoying the heat chat just a second ago. I managed to catch that. It's one of my top five. So yeah, that brightened my morning a little bit.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the ball in association with Movember. Throw a mow, move for Movember, host or mow your own way. All to save lives. Sign up now at Movember.com.
I'm in Dundrum on a beautiful but freezing cold day to catch up with a League of Ireland champion, Shelburne striker Sean Boyd. We're going to be subjecting ourselves to a cold plunge while thinking about the mercy of a warm sauna which has been promised to us. And we're also going to chat about his incredible journey and how he has dealt with the pressure of being a professional football star.
I'd say after the last couple of weeks, a recovery session is exactly what you need.
Yeah, it is definitely. You know, obviously there was a hard few weeks with matches and that, but then it kicked on to a hard celebration. So yeah, could probably do with pressing the reset button and going again, yeah.
How did you manage to soak in the last 2 weeks in particular? Because, I mean, when it comes to stories in the League of Ireland and Irish football, it's right up there as one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, it's actually probably been quite difficult to probably take it in. The celebrations went on. It was a great weekend, and then we actually, as a team, went to Lisbon for the weekend after. So
all right.
I'm coming off the back of a holiday as well. So, yeah, it's been hard to really digest what's actually after happening. Obviously, in the moment, it was like a big release of emotion and stuff. So, you know, that was all great. But I haven't even watched the game back. So,
really?
Yeah, so I'm sure over the next couple of weeks, I'll try and do that. And, you know, try and gather my thoughts about it all.
So to go from the beautiful sunshine of Lisbon to a cold plunge here in Dublin, how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, probably a bit nervous. I can't say I love the cold water. You know, the saunas are obviously great, but yeah, I don't know, a bit nervous. I'll see, hopefully I can speak.
When it comes to this sort of setup here, I presume it's part and parcel of being an athlete as well, that you're fairly familiar with the setup.
Yeah, we have to do it. So there'll be mandatory ice sessions and stuff after for recovery. So yeah, we would have to do it all the time after games and that. So yeah, I'd be well used to it anyway.
To what extent does Duffer partake in the recovery sessions and these sorts of setups?
As in him getting involved?
Yeah, yeah.
No, none.
Not at all.
He'd be giving out to us from a distance, but no, he wouldn't get involved himself.
The Helios sauna's cold plunge barrels await us, but we're far more worried about what's actually inside of them. Cold plunges are meant to enhance circulation, boost cellular resistance, and help your overall vitality. Great in theory, painful in reality.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, you too.
I'm sitting down. This is lovely, isn't it?
All right, talk amongst yourselves.
Right, so this is a common thing for you, is it?
You come here often?
All good, no stress. So we were just making the point that this is actually more out of your comfort zone than lining up title on the line 18 years without any silverware. This is actually a bigger deal for you.
Yeah, this is more than I reckon. I was walking up towards this god, it was there. The Friday was fine, like I said, but jeez, I'll be shivering here now. I suppose you just kind of have to breathe through it and, you know, take your time, and after a couple of minutes it'll settle, but jeez, yeah, it's tough.
How do you get yourself ready for this level of discomfort?
I don't know, you probably just have to take the leap of faith and just go for it, I suppose. It is tough, but more to how you feel afterwards, I suppose.
You were saying that Duffer might be hopping into this barrel tomorrow?
So believe, yeah.
How does he react to these sorts of situations?
He'd be grand, he'd be the same, he'd be time waits for no man. That's his one of his favourite sayings. He'd be straight in, I'd say, head first. So not a bother to him. I think he used to love the sea swims as a player, so he'd be well used to it.
I've heard him say that phrase, time waits for no man.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? Like, I mean, you're still a very young man at the age of 26, but I suppose as a footballer, the years are precious.
Yeah, and he would constantly be on to me, you know, every day. He would say, never miss a session, don't miss a minute, don't waste a rep. You know, I feel like he probably thinks that I need as much, a lot of attention probably, when I would say I don't, but yeah, he just wants me probably to be the best he can, because inevitably it would probably be the best for the clubs.
Is that a mantra that you live by outside of football, that every day is precious, time waits for no man?
Yeah, it would be. You know, I have you know, had some tough days, you know, in my family and in my life, I suppose. So, you know, you kind of learn over the years through experience that every day is an opportunity, probably, you know, to enjoy it and live in the moment where you're worrying about what might happen. You never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, it's one thing to ask the questions, but then you've got to actually repeatedly speak when you're answering the questions with your jaw chattering. So do not envy this man.
The idea of having a chat without our teeth chattering incessantly was actually quite attractive at this point. So he hops into the sauna.
Shaman, we're inside in that freezing cold water. The question comes to mind immediately, how the body feels. But it's a particularly pressing question for you. How is the body? How is everything holding up after such a great season?
Yeah, fine. I had probably a couple of niggly injuries. I had a bit of a bad calf on probably halfway through the season. And now I'd be probably touch and go, hoping to get back. Probably no margin for error, really, if I had it broke down. I probably would have been out for the season. So, knew that I had to really probably torture myself with the rehab and in the gym and getting back as best I could to hopefully give myself a good chance to run in, and I did. So was absolutely perfect after that. I rolled my ankle in Derry for about 70 minutes on the clock, and I thought I was struggling.
On the final night of the season?
Yeah, the physio came on and they were going to make the change, but I just was like, no chance. Give me 2 minutes, I tried to have a little jog, and I think the adrenaline got me through it, and now it blew up after, but I'm feeling okay now.
How does that affect you, either positively or negatively, in a mental sense? I presume on the one hand, having gone through what you've gone with your body, it does toughen you up, for lack of a better phrase. At the same time, I wonder, is there a niggling doubt there every so often whenever you do pick up an injury?
Yeah, I'd say for the most part, if I have a niggle and I'm coming back, there's probably always that, you know, when I'm just probably getting back onto the pitch, there's probably always that fear that, you know, something's going to give and it's not ready, or I'm not ready to go. But I suppose, like you said, I've been through quite a bit, so you probably just have to go with it and see, and you can't hesitate or wait around, because you won't be 100% at yourself. So, yeah, it's probably a mix of both. I like to think, you know, the few tough injuries gave me a bit of mental strength and, you know, a bit of character. But yeah, there's always a tiny bit of doubt.
When it comes to, a movement like Movember and this time of year, does it strike home with you, some of the conversations you have with your teammates, even conversations with the manager? I mean, he is big on kind of the group ethos in Shells, and obviously you've just come back from a brilliant celebratory team holiday in Lisbon. There does seem to be a bit of a togetherness there. Are you together on the level of actually talking about what's going on in your head?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, there's probably, you'd obviously have your probably closer friends within the close-knit group. I would have played with Luke Byrne, who would be one of my best friends, so he would have been someone I could have always say to him anytime, you know, I feel like shit, or I feel, sorry for cursing, but I feel crap, or I'm struggling or whatever, and I know that he would take it on board and help, and he could do the same with me. So there is, you know, a really close group of the whole squad, but I'd say within that, there's probably really strong friendships. I know Mark Hoyle and JJ Loney, they are really close, so I'm sure they are comfortable enough with having a conversation with each other, you know, that things aren't going well or I'm struggling, you know, so definitely.
When it comes to Movember and men's mental health, this is something that you're keen to promote and keen to speak about, because your family has been touched by tragedy in this regard.
Yeah,
like I said, my uncle, probably coming up to 11 years, I think, on the 25th of November, took his own life. So, you know, it was a terrible time for my family. My mom would have looked at him like nearly as a son, rather than a little brother. She would have probably spent a lot of time with him. She was quite a bit older than him. So, yeah, it would have been, you know, I've seen firsthand what it does to, you know, family, basically. You know, it's obviously my uncle was going through whatever, and you know, tough times, and he probably thought there was nothing to do, nothing else to do, and he left a little 5-year-old girl, and it's terrible, you know, and the mess it made for my family, my mom, my son, and like, you know, it was terrible for years and years. It took her a very long time to get back to being somewhat normal. She would still every day talk about him, and it's like, you know, he will never leave her life, he will never leave our lives, but just the effect that it had on my mom, it was, you know, terrible. So it's something I've had in my head for since then, you know, to always be on the lookout for things and to help out as much as you can. If you can talk about it, if you can talk to someone, if you can make sure someone's okay, I will. But it's it's terrible, really.
So you're 15 when it happens. That must be a fairly significant moment for a fella just finding his own feet in the world.
Yeah, it was. I remember I was in school, and I got detention in school, and I remember going home thinking, how am I going to say this to my mom? I was in the car on the way home from school thinking, how am I going to say this to them? I've been getting in trouble a bit. And then my mom's phone rang, and it was my uncle's fiance, and she was just on the phone. I'm so sorry. And my mom probably, I had somewhat of an idea, and it was just from then, it was just absolute carnage. We went straight to the house. He was still in the house, and we were there. And I remember sitting in the car. They didn't want to bring us into the house just yet. It was me and my little sister in the car with my mom and dad. But just mad times, mad memories, you know, terrible. Seeing your family, or my aunties, your uncles, my mom, cousins, all so upset, you know. It was tough, hard to take probably as a 15-year-old to really realize what was going on, but you know, I seen the effect in the years after I had on my mom. So hard
to see your mother go through that is probably the most cutting aspect of it.
Yeah, and come here, I'd be probably a real mammy's boy, so I would ask my mom to do a lot of things for me, and she looks after me like you wouldn't believe. So again, to see her going through stuff that you probably never thought you would was awful. Yeah, so it was tough to take. That was probably, obviously for me, the hardest part was my mom. Yeah, it was really tough. Yeah.
How is she now?
Yeah, better. Again, like I said, she still talks about him all the time. She went down to his grave yesterday. She'll make a weekly thing to do that. You know, obviously still suffering with it, but just probably just learn to live with it better and, you know, carry on with normal life. But that took years, you know. It was probably years and years before she probably wanted to leave the house and go out and do her normal shopping or Christmas shopping. She didn't want to see anyone. So it was, you know, it took a real big toll on her.
How has that affected your own behaviours over the years?
Yeah, probably just make me more aware of, you know, how people are feeling outside of, you know, because obviously I know myself, like, you know, you can put on a front and be a good actor and let on as if you're okay when you're not, but, you know, probably just would give me extra incentive probably to ask people really how they are and if you're okay, and probably text someone if I knew they were off to make sure, you know, that they know I'd be there. So little things like that.
Looking after yourself is obviously a key part of it. I presume having sport as a central part of your life is something that keeps you ticking along. I mean, hopping into an ice bath this morning, I'm sure has made your day all the better, despite the initial pain.
Yeah, the sport has obviously been great for me, and it's actually probably been great for my mom. You know, she comes down to the matches every Friday. You know, she loves it. She says to me, if I get injured, she's like, oh my God, when you're back, I miss my Fridays. I want to go down and watch the matches. So, that, like, you know, that is great, and it's probably been a big distraction for her and for me. And, you know, it's somewhere you can go, and you can, for the most part, you know, if you're playing a match, you're not thinking about anything else except the match. And it's, you know, it's a great distraction to have, I have to say, you know, and from everything going on in life, you know, you can go and play a match and just forget about things for a few hours. And, you know, it obviously from last Friday, it brings great nights and great memories. So that's something we'll have forever. My mom has the medal. So she slept it. I gave it to her after Saturday. And my dad rang me the next day saying, geez, she won't take it off. She's after sleeping it. So, you know, that's nice. And I won a couple of Man of the Match awards and I won the Player of the Month there last month. So they all got the horse. So she's like, I'm taking them. So, you know, if it makes her happy, she can have it.
And obviously your life has changed dramatically in a very positive sense in the last 12 months as well. How has fatherhood changed, Sean Boyd?
It's probably made me a better professional for starters. I'm getting, actually, would you believe, more sleep than I ever have. I'm eating really good because my girlfriend is amazing. She's looking after the baby and she's cooking dinners. And yeah, it's been amazing, an amazing time. I said earlier that Luke would have picked up on things. Ask me, are you okay? That hasn't happened since January. Like, you know, he looks at me now and he said to me a couple of times, he said to my partner, Amy, just the happiest I've seen Sean. He's so happy. And it's just, you know, a different feeling. You can't really explain. I get to wake up in the morning to little Jack and, you know, it's just amazing. You could sit there and do nothing all day and you'd still just be in awe and be so happy and content with them. So, yeah, my partner, Amy, she's been absolutely amazing. And he has been, the best thing that has ever happened.
2024, not been a bad year for you?
The best year of my life.
Obviously, the whole objective of this month and of this movement in November is to try and remove that shield, remove that armour a little bit and get men talking about their mental health. It's obviously something that you've had to go through in very difficult ways throughout your life. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned and the biggest thing that you would pass on to somebody listening to this?
I think, you know, the biggest thing for me definitely has been I have probably a really good support network. You know, like I have people that I know I can go to and like Luke, my partner Amy, she's been like, you know, brilliant. I know I could say anything to her and she's just 100% support and help. My dad even, you know, there's times I could say anything to him and he's, you know, I know they're going to help me. So I think that would be probably the biggest thing, you know, to make sure you have people that you know. And even if you don't know, just even say it, because no one's really going to say to you, shut up, I don't want to talk to you or whatever. If you tell someone, you know, you're not feeling well, things are struggling with things, for the most part, they're going to help you. That would be, you know, the biggest thing for me, the support network I have. I know they would do anything for me and I'd do the same. So, yeah, I suppose just, you know, figure out who is close to you and who your closest people are and make sure that you're able to have a conversation with them and do if you need to. It's obviously important, you know, like I said, if you can even just speak for an hour at someone, if someone just listens for an hour or half an hour, you'll feel much better. So, that would be, I'd say, the thing to do.
Sean, thanks very much.
No problem. Appreciate it. No problem.
Change the face of men's health. Help take on mental health, suicide, prostate cancer and testicular cancer. Donate now at Movember.com.
Off the Ball, in association with Movember. Throw a mow, move for Movember, host or mow your own way. All to save lives. Sign up now at Movember.com.